My name is Thais Gibson, and I'm the creator of the Personal Development School. This is your Daily Breakthrough video, and in this video, I want to talk a little bit about the dismissive avoidant attachment styles, stages of healing. So we're going to talk about 9 key tools that the DA really needs to be able to sort of get a handle on in order to really become much more secure. And these 9 key tools aren't in like any particular order, like to an exact sort of format, but they do generally tend to follow the format that is most beneficial for DAs. Some of them may interchange a little bit. So for example, you might think like 4 and 5 can sort of switch places, and that's totally okay. 2 and 3, things like that. So it's sort of the format I tend to see the most, give or take a little bit. Okay. So tool number 1 that's really important for the dismissive avoidant in terms of their stages of healing is getting to know oneself. Okay. This is like basically for all attachment styles. And this is really like needs and desires, but for dismissive avoidance, there's a particular emphasis on getting to know your own emotions, ending the cycle of that sort of emotional suppression is our number 2. And in order to end that, we have to first get an understanding of what's going on inside of us. So we sort of can bridge those 2 together in the sense of you have to get to know yourself. What are your actual needs? What are your needs for healing? What are the things that are important to you? Do that introspective work for number 1. And number 2, allow those emotions to be there. Start feeling your emotions again. I know this is a very scary experience for a lot of DAs because so much of your survival subconscious programming was built around not allowing yourself to feel. However, those are really outdated strategies in our adult lives. And emotions, you know, just because we feel our emotions doesn't mean we have to like express them in unhealthy ways onto everybody around us. We can feel our emotions, go inward and resolve like, hey, what's going on that's causing me to feel this way? Maybe I'm feeling insecure. And then I go inwards and I realize, oh, I've just been telling myself this story that I'm disliked by everybody in the room. Oh, that's why I feel insecure, because I'm storytelling to myself based on some kind of old wound or fear. And so, you know, emotions are this beautiful gift that allow us to go inward and figure out what's going on beneath the surface so we can change that, solve for that. And then our emotions shift as a byproduct. And so, you know, it's that, or it's like you noticing that an emotion could reflect an unmet need is really the only other feedback emotions give. And it could be that, you know, we have an unmet need for connection. And so we're feeling a little bit lonely. And so we have to put ourselves out there and be more vulnerable and meet new people, right? So there's always some kind of really valuable feedback our emotions are giving. But in order to get there, we actually have to feel into what's taking place. And I think a lot of DAs tend to confuse emotional expression with, you know, being like the type of person who emotionally dumps on other people in relationships. Like you just sort of pour out all your emotions onto everybody around you without any awareness of like how that makes other people feel or their boundaries or, you know, what's going on in terms of how they want to connect in a relationship. And that's not the case. Okay. Number 3 is learning to work through feelings by noticing feelings and not escaping them and understanding what's beneath them. Okay. So again, really sort of the reflection of everything we've summarized so far, it's just broken into those 3 separate steps. So, you know, getting to know myself, getting to know my needs, my desires, and then getting to know my emotions, what types of emotions do I feel on a regular basis, actually allowing them to come up and then solving underneath. Okay. Those are like 3 really, really important parts for DA. Number 4 is ending self-shaming. DAs have a lot of sensitivity to shame. And this is a reflection of the fact that you often shame yourself in your relationship to yourself. Okay. So literally, if you, you know, get up in the morning and you're like, oh my gosh, I got up past my alarm clock. I can never get up on time. And if you're creating this feeling of like, I'm defective, there's something wrong with me, I'm messed up, I can't get up on time. Like, why are you treating yourself that way? It's just an alarm clock, right? Or it's just a mistake at work. You may have turned in the report late or made a mistake. There's nothing to ever justify you being so harsh in the relationship to yourself. It's extremely important to be, to like truly look, right? Like to really be able to take accountability and responsibility for our lives by truly evaluating like, oh yeah, I'm struggling to get up earlier on time. Or, hey, I keep making the same mistake in a report. What's going on there? What can I solve for? How can I show up and be better in this area? But that is healthy. versus shaming ourselves can be a very unhealthy, detrimental thing to do in the relationship to ourselves. Nobody needs to feel like that. And so ending self-shaming and starting to audit your patterns of like, when do you shame yourself? When do you beat yourself up too much or criticize yourself in a way that you're telling this like narrative that something's wrong with you or you're defective when that's just not the case. And really being able to end that cycle and replace shame with acceptance and accountability. Those two things can go together. They're a much healthier substitute than shame. Number five, practicing vulnerability. So once we start like sort of healing and repairing that inner relationship to ourselves, it then becomes, can I open up outside of me? Okay. And this is really powerful work to be doing. This is exposure work we can do slowly but surely, opening up, being a little more vulnerable, sharing a personal fact one day, a personal memory another day with somebody, a personal fear one day, sharing a little bit about our feelings one day, asking for our needs be met one day. All those little things are versions of being more vulnerable and sharing your inner world and inner self with those around you. Number six, becoming more generous. So as we start to get out of survival mode, DAs then get into a position where they begin being able to be more generous. So they get out of that survival mode and space, and all of a sudden they're really like tuned in to, okay, they're actually, you know, here's the thing. Survival mode keeps you in sympathetic nervous system. So this is fight or flight. Whenever we're in fight or flight nervous system mode, anybody, not just DAs, when anybody's in fight or flight, you're not thinking about other people. You're thinking about your own survival. And because DAs tend to chronically be in that low level fight or flight mode, and they're always feeling a little bit unsafe. And because if you grew up as a child and your early subconscious associations were like, you have to take care of yourself and you're on your own in the world, and you're not getting that attunement and that emotional safety and nurturing, then you feel kind of like your survival is constantly threatened. And that tends to be a subconscious comfort zone that DAs carry with them throughout the course of their lives. And so when you come out of survival mode through ending the self-shaming, being, you know, connected to yourself, tuning into to yourself, working through feelings, learning to actually feel your own feelings, you're really showing up to reparent the part of yourself that wasn't emotionally nurtured. And as you heal that, you then have availability as you also practice more vulnerability and learning to rely a little bit around on those around you. You then have a little bit more space to practice giving more and opening more and sharing more and all these different things. And I know this sounds like DAs are not good sharers or something like that. It's not necessarily the case at all. DAs are very kind people underneath the survival stuff, right? And they can be very kind people as a general rule, even despite the survival stuff. But it's really important that they practice ending lack by seeing that they can give a little bit and compromise a little bit and still be safe. And that can be a very intentional set of steps a DA takes along their healing journey. And it's very reinforcing to feel like I can give and I can receive. And that actually makes a DA feel much safer in the world, which they deserve to feel. Number seven, being able to communicate your needs to others in a healthy way. So being able to share what you need as well, because a lot of the dynamic that tends to take place is that DAs will just receive because they're in survival mode. And sometimes they'll even hoard what they're getting from around them because, and they hold on tight to it. Cause again, when we're in survival mode, any of us, that's what we do. And so they'll hold on to this stuff and then not communicate their needs. And so sometimes people can be giving and giving and pouring into DAs, but not even pouring into the things that the DA actually needs. And then the giver's left feeling like you just take and you don't even seem grateful enough about this. And the DA is left feeling like I have to hold on to this, but it wasn't what I needed anyways. And it can be this really painful cycle because a DA feels unseen and misunderstood. The person giving to a DA feels very hurt and very sometimes like taken advantage of. And really there's this big miscommunication because without clarity between ourselves and another person in a relationship, we cannot properly give or receive. Number eight is proper self-care. Okay. So learning to nurture yourself because you often didn't have proper emotional nurturing. And this means everything from like taking time out to emotionally process things, tuning into your feelings and needs throughout the day and meeting your needs, not in survival need format where it's like immersing yourself into things like video games or social media or food or things that are distractions from yourself, but actually like being present with yourself. And this also looks like just taking time for like routine and health and cooking a healthy meal and having a bath or taking a long shower, just like whatever is there as a form of proper self-care. And again, a lot of DAs, unfortunately, were super neglected in childhood. And so this is really, really important. And last but not least, number nine is meeting own needs in the healthiest possible form. So really recognizing, hey, I have my survival needs, which can be like short-term gratification, but they don't actually help me feel more energized or nourished in a long-term way. And then I have my like healthy, like showing up for myself needs that are really truly nourishing. And just like some of those things we talked about, and then being able to meet my needs in the healthiest possible form. So realizing, oh, I'm feeling disconnected. I'm not going to just go connect by watching characters in reality television. I'm going to connect through having a vulnerable conversation with a friend. One is like short-term gratification. One actually meets your needs. Oh, I'm feeling unsafe. I'm not going to just distract myself from my feelings of not being safe by, you know, emotionally eating food or, you know, watching four movies back to back or reruns of some old television show. I'm going to actually create strategies to help myself feel safe, like make a plan for my next five moves in life, you know, whatever it might be, whatever strategy you need specific to the context of what's making you feel unsafe to begin with. So I know this is like a lot of information pretty quick, but some really important stuff for DAs to keep in mind. Just a reminder as well, if you want to do a much deeper dive into a lot of this stuff, we have the Dismissive Avoidant Reprogramming course. We have a 7-day free trial into the Personal Development School. There's a link in the description box below. And we also have the Advanced DA course, which is all about how your attachment style is likely to show up through each of the 6 stages of relationships. You can try those out for free for both in the description box below. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for watching. Please like, share, and subscribe if you haven't already. And I will see you in the next video.